This is Mark Steiner. Get ready for another one of our Theater Baltimore segments. We're going back to the Theater Project. Of course, that means Charlie Bethel's in the studio. I mean, Chris Finkstein in the studio, producing director of Theater Project.
Back again.
But Charlie Bethel's in the studio is what I meant I was going to say.
Indeed.
Actor who's performing a solo performance on Beowulf for the next two weekends. Who knew from all the struggles and pain that many of you have gone through as young people in school, trying to get through Beowulf.
Oh, the poor eighth graders.
Why eighth graders? I never understood. It should be like eighth graders?
You know, it's crazy. Beowulf always gets shoved down the eighth graders' throats, and I feel so sorry for them. Because when it's done, you know, I love the story. I fell in love with it when I was 14 because of the blood and guts, and I fell in love with it again as an adult because of what it says about life and death and how short life is. And whenever I encounter a high school student who's dealing with their first Beowulf experience, I want to just pull them aside and say, it's okay. Don't worry. This story is a three monster tale. It's Alien. It's Alien with a guy. That's what it is.
But you know, the Beowulf is one of the stories I was lucky enough to have a teacher later in life who I studied Beowulf mm-hmm. with that made it kind of actually amazing, mm-hmm. incredible, frightening.
Oh, it's exciting.
Tale.
Yeah.
So talk about let's take a step backwards.
Sure.
Talk a bit about, you're an actor, obviously.
You have
this one-man show. You've done this for 10 years, right?
Right, yeah. This is year 12 now.
Year 12. Yeah, yeah. Beowulf. So let's begin with what sucked you into Beowulf and why you decided to do this thing, because you don't do it dressed up as some Anglo-Saxon, you know, 5th century, whatever that
no,
was.
No, absolutely
right?
not. No, there are no horned helmets in this play.
It's just me. I don't see any horns.
And I wear, I mean, officially speaking, it is a costume. It is clothing that I have reserved for this play. My shoes I had made for the show. I mean, but they are period shoes, but there's nothing that screams period. You got my program notes, Chris, didn't
yes.
you, where I said the setting is now, then, here, away, and later.
Yes.
I fell in love with this story as a teenager based on the blood and guts, like I said. And then in the mid-90s, I was living in Chicago, and a friend of mine said, I'll bet you, she threw down the gauntlet one day over drinks and said, you know, I'll bet you can't create a solo show that can be done in a parking lot that's completely riveting. And I sort of thought about it for a while, and then I started reading stuff, and I ended up, I had this job at the Shedd Aquarium that I hated, and I would go to work on the L with whatever would fit in my back pocket. And it turns out that the Penguin Burton Raffle translation of Beowulf fits in your back pocket. And so I opened it up one day on the subway, and I read the first five lines, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a solo show. Behold, we have heard of the Spear Danes of former days, right? And I thought, wow, that's the solo show I want to do. And so I set about creating that, you know, and I knew I couldn't use Burton Raffles' translation because that's, you know, somebody else's creative work.
Right.
So I put it together with lots of different stuff that I found in the public domain, took a crash course in Anglo-Saxon from a professor at the University of Chicago, and spent basically the next 7 years creating and rehearsing this thing that I ultimately put up in Minneapolis in the autumn of 2001.
So what this means is that – it's interesting. So what this means is that Beowulf is not something you've just done for 12 years.
Right.
Beowulf is something you prepared to do for almost a decade before that.
Correct.
So what is it about the story of Beowulf that mm-hmm. that made this your life?
Yeah. To me, you know, when I'm pitching to a producer and they want like the one sentence version of what is Beowulf about,
yeah.
I look at them and I say the entire message of Beowulf is life is short, dangerous, mostly painful. It would be best for you to get a helmet. And to me, that's such a basic message. It's so basic. You know, and I think it's a message that everybody deserves to hear in an environment that is safe, and loving. I mean, for me, theater is a healing art, and I think that there's
that's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who have, you know, really scary lives, and for them to realize that it's not they're not alone in that, that there is also this there is this tradition in the form of this beautiful story, in which they can safely encounter death, their inevitable death. I mean, that's really what Beowulf is about. That at the end of the tale, you know, he knows that he's helpless. He knows that he's weak. He knows that he's old for dealing with this dragon. He knows that he's going to die. And still, he steps forward at every opportunity because days are only lent to us. We have to give them back. That's the deal.
So I'd like to do here just say a segue because I think it's important. People, there's very few people who don't know or not heard the word Beowulf.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What, I'm saying? What kind of a wolf?
What? Should I tell that story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
No.
It was a couple of years into. This is one of my favorite theater stories from my career. I was looking for representation for the Beowulf show. And it turns out that John Astin, who teaches at Hopkins,
I know John very well.
He does a Poe show. Okay?
Right.
So I was looking around for things that were like what I do, things that are literary, things that are okay. And you can book his Poe show through his agent in Hollywood. Okay, so I call her up and I say, "Hi, my name's Charlie Bethel. You don't know me, but I see that you represent Mr. Astin in terms of this Poe show, and I have something very similar. I'd like to get some representation." She says, "Okay, honey, what's your show?" And I say, "Well, it's a solo version of Beowulf." Long pause. And then she says, "What kind of wolf?" And I was like, "Oh, I may have dialed the wrong number. It's okay." Needless to say, I didn't get the representation, you know, thankfully, it works in lots of school settings and stuff like that.
So. Well, give us this, talk to us about Beowulf.
Sure.
People need to hear the story.
Absolutely. It kind of starts, it starts with the appearance of a monster in a kingdom. And the monster eats human flesh. And he appears at night, invisible. He's a shadow stalker. He's described as a shadow stalker. He lives down in a marsh somewhere, and he hears the music from the hall and the rejoicing sounds of the people. And when they go to sleep, he comes and he eats them. And this goes on for about 12 years until this Clint Eastwood character walks into town, and his name is Beowulf. And he's come because he wants to make a name for himself. And the way he's going to do it is like he's always done it, through killing. He's a killer. He's a warrior. And he does battle with this monster and ends up killing it. And then the monster's mother appears and he kills her. And various things happen. He gets a lot of treasure. He goes back home. He gives his treasure to his king. Ultimately, he gets old and is in charge of the kingdom. And then a dragon appears.
Grendel.
No, Grendel is the first monster.
Grendel is the first monster, right.
Grendel,
monster.
Then Grendel's right. Mother, then the dragon.
And then the dragon, right.
And so the dragon appears, and he is not really prepared for this particular battle. He's as prepared as he can be as an old man, and he knows that it's his job to get out there and do it. And he loses his life doing it, and the kingdom passes to a child, and we're done with the story. His body ascends to heaven in the form of the smoke from a funeral pyre, and life is short and painful. Please get a helmet.
Before you lay down your hammock, get a helmet. Well, one of the cool things, I was reading some stuff about how Beowulf, the excavations they've done.
Sure.
That Beowulf, I mean, he is
officially speaking an actual person who has been mythologized.
Exactly.
Right. Sort of like Gilgamesh, which is actually another show
like
that I do.
Like most people in the world that we have built stories and religion around.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
The cult of JFK.
Yeah. The cult of anybody we can imagine. But I think that was interesting to me. As it goes to the heart of the kind of the very ancient indigenous cultures of Northern Europe and Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. This is what it's at the heart of the Anglo-Saxon. Absolutely. When people think of the Anglo-Saxon world, they think of colonials coming to America, but this is the deep root.
Oh, this is way before. I mean, this is completely an European indigenous story.
Right.
You know, this is before we colonized at all. This is when we were still, you know, hanging out in mud huts, basically.
Right.
I mean, if you were the king, you lived in a stone house, but if you were you and me,
right,
it's mud hut time.
can you give us a sense of the show here?
Oh, sure. I guess I could just describe the opening.
Sure.
That would do it.
That works for me.
We got some music on for pre-show, and it really depends on how I'm feeling on a particular day. And then we hear a room full of clocks that tick in counterpoint to each other, and then they all stop at once so that there's complete silence. It's as though time has stopped. And I guess the first few lines the first few lines go like this. They go, "Listen up. Long ago, when we still asked, then we heard tell of heroes, ancient kings, of their courageous acts and of the fame they carved for each himself with swinging swords. How Shield the King drove enemies to death, and blah, 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 blah." So, and then we do the little family tree leading down to Hrothgar the King. And then we introduce the monster Grendel, and things go nutty, and then we introduce Beowulf. I would describe the language as a very modern, contemporary vocabulary couched in an ancient iambic pentameter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
But you do it in modern English.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And every now and then I throw in just a little ancient something.
Like what?
Like, "And then the king leaped to his feet and thanked God."
you gotta make it rhyme.
You gotta make it rhyme. You gotta make the horse run at a particular rhythm.
So this is a 2-week run.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
2 weekend runs. Last weekend, this coming weekend, that we'll be playing. So give us, how do people get here?
To Theater Project?
And the tickets.
You can get to Theater Project.
We can't talk price, public radio, but everything but price.
Everything but price. Well, let's just say reasonably priced.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You can go to our website, which is theaterproject.org.
R-E, right?
R-E, because we're fancy.
Chris Finkston, thank you so much for keeping the Theater Project rolling and alive and bringing these incredible things to our town that we wouldn't ordinarily see.
I'm so thrilled to have Charlie
and
here.
Charlie Bethel, it sounds like an incredible production.
Thank you.
The clips I've seen are just amazing.
It's a lot of
fun. Looking
forward
to seeing the whole thing.
Great.
I think to somebody to bring that kind of a power of that world alive to us is really important. I'm glad you've come to bring us to Baltimore.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Thank you. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break.